Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, here we go on a Monday, fresh off a 4th of July weekend. Hope everybody had a fun and safe holiday weekend. Alex Gold with you. Cody Tapp out today. A couple more days. We'll be back on Wednesday with us. Steven Serta back, like myself, and Jay Binkley filling in for the next 2 days here on Cody and Gold. Bink, what's up, man? Holy cow. I forgot. Yeah. Just pounding energy drinks, yeah. Mountain Dew, and a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, Serta knows how I roll.
Forgot about that.
You know, I went out without energy drinks. I wasn't doing them during quarantine, you know, because at Virtual Royals and stuff, and I had out. Because baseball, you don't have to get as excitable, you know. It's kind of more relaxed setting, but I haven't been doing the energy drinks very long unless I've been doing on-air stuff, which is here and there.
So. You and Serta both have the – I think Serta does the energy drinks still. He's an energy drink guy for the most part.
When I first got here, Serta – or well, actually, Serta and I were the only ones really to do it. And then more and more start doing it.
I don't drink them like Binkley does.
No, no.
How many more you got?
I got another one. This is a long show. Okay. It's 4 hours.
Okay.
I used to do one per hour.
Yeah, that's just
– like night shows, there'd be one at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
I'm still on the no Gatorade in the morning anymore and no mini donuts, and it's worked out. Lost a couple pounds, Bink.
Mini donuts?
Yeah, that was a big issue. That was a big issue for about 2 months or so. Over the weekend didn't matter, though.
I want to see you go Bryson DeChambeau. I want to see Gold.
You mean start taking roids? No. That's a whole other topic. Because I think that's what Bryson DeChambeau is doing.
I
want to
see
days.
You gain the weight. You know, you come back, all of a sudden you gain 40 more pounds.
You know, the combine.
You could have done this over the virus.
6'10 combine next year. I mean,
you could have showed back up all bulked up and everything after the virus and stuff. You missed your chance.
Yeah. Nobody's going to believe that's going to ever happen. Never going to happen whatsoever. So, yeah, Cody will be back on Wednesday. He's having an extended holiday weekend. I'm sure he's doing some baking. Who knows what he's going to bring in on Wednesday. I'm expecting some type of baked goods from Cody when he gets back to the studio on Wednesday. Hey, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll hear from Whit Merrifield, also Mike Matheny and Salvador Perez. The Royals opened up their workouts over the weekend, and the Royals have been fortunate. At least they're getting results from their testing. That is a huge story right now that's really developing in the last half hour or so and going to continue throughout the day. And doesn't make you feel good about baseball starting on time. And that's because, as you heard from Serta during his update, there are a couple teams that have had to shut down their workouts both yesterday and a few today because, Bink, they can't even get the results of the testing. It's one thing we were wondering about, what happens if you have one or two or three positive tests? How do you handle that as an organization? They can't even get the answer. The Astros haven't got the results back from Friday.
You know what's funny is well, it's not funny, but this whole baseball has taken so many hits from Rob Manfred. I don't know how he survives this, to be honest with you, as commissioner. But the infighting that went back and forth between the teams, and you had the 60 games already set up. They were going to do this anyway, but the infighting kind of took things away. And the Astros didn't test on Saturday or Sunday. It's like, how do they mess this stuff up? And Texas is one of the hotbeds. The Nationals said, the GM Mike Rizzo said, this is the world champions. So we're not practicing today because we don't have our results back. Oakland A's, same thing. Toronto Blue Jays can't even get some of their players back up to Toronto. They're still in Dunedin, Florida, where the spring training complex is. I mean, this organization had so long to prepare for this, and they weren't ready. The only team that seems seemingly ready, it makes you respect the Royals a lot more. And even Buster Olney and these guys say, hey, the Royals are the model organization. They've done things the right way the whole time. They paid everybody through everything. They're doing – there's none of these testing problems with the Royals. Like, the Royals seemingly are the model franchise in baseball. We saw it with five of the top seven undrafted free agents wanted to sign with the Royals. I mean, that sends, because of this team, the organization, the way they do things, it kind of makes you appreciate what you have. But you see this going all across baseball. How many more hits can Rob Manfred take and not get this thing right? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, you go for 2.5 months. You have 2.5 months of negotiations from the original March agreement, and all we spent doing on the show for a couple months was talking about the players want this prorated, the owners don't want to give this, is there going to be expanded postseason, what about the DH and all that? And meanwhile, we still knew there was this whole pandemic that was coming. And so clearly, they put stuff on a sheet of paper that looked good in terms of protocols, but they didn't make sure that the teams were, or at least the majority of the teams are at this point, but still, one team not having the accurate testing is a major problem, because what that can mean for the rest. Right now, fortunately, they're not in other cities, they're not traveling around, but if they're already having this issue, I know it was a holiday weekend, and so labs are closed, and they're trying to, a lot of these labs, they have to ship out overnight or later in the day. Some of them are lucky enough to have it within their city, but that's the issue with the A's. I guess their tests are still in the Bay Area. It needs to get over to Utah or something. So, like, that's the issue. It's a team-by-team problem that has to be fixed, and that's why you mentioned, like, the Royals, what they're doing. Some of it is, I think, you're fortunate with the relationships that you have and geography and where you're located, just in terms of even the testing. But we know, like, with Sporting Kansas City and the MLS, and they've got their own issues, the league does, but other teams have had problems. Sporting Kansas City has been a model in the MLS, right? They were kind of the first team to come up with their testing. In baseball, I think it's the same way, where each team is responsible for their own testing, getting access to the tests and going through the lab process and getting that. And fortunately, to this point, the Royals haven't had that issue. But if you're thinking about the season, which we're, 3.5 weeks away or so from starting, July 24th, we'll know the schedule, in fact, tonight at 5 o'clock.
Which is still too late. This should have come out earlier. I mean, honestly.
Yes. No, they spent so much time arguing financials.
But I understand it takes time. But again, is there going to be too much hits? Because this is all they're talking about. Passan, Olney, Heyman, Nightingale. This is the only thing they're talking about today. This is schedule release day. Well, in the NFL, schedule release day is a big deal.
You had a three-hour show, didn't you?
Yeah. Had a three-hour show on one subject. And you know what? We could have gone probably 5 or 6 hours because people were interested in it. And this is baseball being behind the eight ball. They just are. They're just behind the other sports when it comes to making things a big event, making an opening day like the NFL, which they clearly do. It was cool a couple years ago when the Royals got to play the Mets, because it just so happened the Royals were playing the NL East, so it made sense to play the Royals and Mets on opening day right after the World Series there in 2016. That was fun. But you could still have a matchup if it works out, if the divisional works out. You could have those games, or you could have the ALCS rematch or NLCS matchup, whatever, whoever wins the World. Like you this year, take the Nationals and play the NLCS. Make it a big event. Start it the day before. Have the concerts. Baseball is so far behind the eight ball, and they've taken so many hits this year. I mean, NASCAR was like, boom, let's just go, and did it, and baseball continues to stub its feet. It's amazing that these other sports are able to do it, and they're not. And the NBA and the NHL are real careful in the MLS to have all their ducks in a row before they went to it, and baseball has almost kind of forced this because they're behind the eight ball, because we were supposed to start baseball around July 4th. Seems to me they're trying to cram things in, that's never good.
It does seem rushed, but all these other leagues, and this is why I keep saying with the NFL, now time eventually won't be on their side, but why they have the luxury of sitting back and seeing the mistakes that are made by all these other leagues. We know, like, the MLS probably already learned that, oh, you know what, having teams arrive 7 days before their games are supposed to start and then test them when they arrive again, maybe not the best idea, because now you got to cancel some games. Like the NBA, they're going to learn. There's going to be some mistakes that are made probably within the bubble, but at least they're having their players arrive 3 weeks or so out. We know Major League Baseball is not going to have a bubble. This is before you're even dealing with travel stuff. They're already having issues getting test results back. What happens when you're on the road? What's that partnership look like in terms of getting certain test results? Here's what Jeff Passan had to say a short while ago on Get Up about where baseball is out and the issue with testing.
Not great right now. And look, you're going to have bumps at the start. That's just inevitable when you're endeavoring to do 14,000 tests a week. But the Oakland A's had intake testing, Greeny, on Friday that was taken between 11 and 1 o'clock. They still do not have the results of that yet, and thus had to cancel a full squad workout yesterday and don't even know if their position players are going to get to work out today. The Los Angeles Angels yesterday just did not have the testers show up. They were supposed to take tests. They were supposed to have it sent out. Didn't happen. You see incidents like this across baseball, and when Sean Doolittle says we got to clean it up, he's absolutely right, because this plan is only as good as the testing. And if there are flaws or errors in the testing, baseball's not going to happen this year. And I think Major League Baseball recognizes that, and I think the players recognize that. But no matter the enormity of the endeavor, they still have to get it right in order for it to work. And that's what the next couple weeks theoretically are for, to figure out how to get this thing functioning and going as smoothly as possible.
So he's mentioned maybe there is still some time before, yes, the game start up. But if you can't get through this process, why are we to believe that baseball can get it figured out? Because you can put all the protocols in place on a sheet of paper, but this is still new territory for everybody. This is still nobody's ever gone through anything like this before. And so I understand that mistakes are going to happen during it. But when you are seeing reports as well, just before we hopped on the air, that players are saying some teams are trying to work around some of the rules. We don't know what teams those are, but That's going to happen in all. That's the concern that you have in all these sports.
And that gets back to the MLBPA, and that's when stuff really starts to hit the fan. To me, it's almost devoid of leadership. I mean, that's the one thing. And Rob Manfred has taken his hits over this, and it's like almost like they need that strong leadership. I mean, that one person to say, all right, this way we're going to do testing. And this is a billion-dollar industry. I mean, this isn't high school baseball that's not doing the tests. This is Major League Baseball that should have had plenty of time to get this in place. And you got some organizations like the Royals that can do it. Why can't everybody else do that? Is it that difficult? And you know what? We all work on weekends. A lot of what we didn't here, but there was people. CDOT did his national show over the weekend. People worked on the weekends, no matter where you went, gas stations, but people were working on the weekend. You're telling me testers couldn't work on the weekend? I mean, they're paid to do it, and this is an important step to get baseball up and running. They should have had everything ready to roll. This shouldn't be a problem with the billion-dollar industry, Alex.
This is just
amateur hour.
As was pointed out over on the Smitty's Garage Burn Beer text line, 913-576-7610, someone mentioning that they were at a hospital. They run their tests in-house, results in 60 minutes. And now, I don't claim to know exactly how all the testing works. There's different types. We know the swab through your nose, but the players, there was Phil Hughes, I believe, sent out a video. They were like doing spit for their tests. So there's different types of tests within it. I don't know if certain ones can be kicked out in 60 minutes
NBA
and other ones can't.
Players wear rings, don't they? And golfers wear watches.
The ring thing was, we talked about that. The ring thing for the NBA is sound like it's some product that they're going to use, that hopefully they're still going to do normal tests. They're not using the ring to determine. They're just hoping that'll tell them that there's a sign maybe a day or two early or whatever,
fevers,
maybe.
Those kind of things.
So, and coming up in 15 minutes, you're going to hear from Salvador Perez, also Whit Merrifield. We know Salvi tested positive for COVID-19. We know Mike Matheny, we learned over the weekend that he had COVID-19. So you hear from a couple of Royals players coming up in 15 minutes here as we're just getting started.
And Freddie Freeman of the Braves, that was a big one because he didn't go to the bars. He abided by everything. Freddie Freeman, the big name in baseball that got it. And he didn't go to bars. He didn't go out. He didn't do anything. And that's probably the biggest name in baseball. And with Salvi to get this.
I think Miguel Sano up in Minnesota testing positive as well. But yeah, doesn't mean just because one of these players tested positive doesn't mean they were being irresponsible.
Freddie wasn't.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that at all. So we're going to see this throughout the day. Again, the schedule for Major League Baseball is supposed to be released at 5 o'clock. We'll find out who the Royals will open up their season with right here on 610 Sports Radio. Throughout the holiday weekend, though, a huge talking point as well, and we saw it really gain steam on Thursday into that Friday, was with the National Football League, and something that's not a new topic by any means. It's something that for really a couple decades, I feel like, and certainly the last decade, has been pushed in the NFL, and that has been the nickname of the Washington football team, the Washington Redskins, and Daniel Snyder's refusal, in fact, multiple times to say, hey, we're not changing the nickname of our football team. Well, things have changed. We certainly know that there's a lot more pressure and action is happening more now than ever behind it. And that franchise, the one thing I think even a week ago on the show I had said, that unless other owners put pressure on Daniel Snyder, he's not changing the nickname. Well, the other thing, of course, is what? If his pocketbook is going to be impacted by it. And that's what we saw on Thursday and Friday. We saw FedEx. We saw Nike. We saw a couple different companies come out and say, yeah, you need to change this name. Nike removed all apparel from Washington. That doesn't exist. Like, it's not even on the website.
And
whatsoever.
That's the official NFL
partner, yeah,
provider, which is huge.
So that was a huge part. That financial pressure, FedEx, and I didn't know at the time, but I guess one of the FedEx CEOs in FedEx is a company. They have a share in Washington in that football team over there. So
it's FedEx Field,
they're the naming rights sponsor on the field. So there's a financial push. And based off the statement that Washington put out, Daniel Snyder put out with quotes from Ron Rivera as well, they said they're going to review it. There's no way that the name's not changing. You don't review it. You don't say you're reviewing it unless the name is actually going to change. I think it is long overdue for them to change it. And there's different ideas that have been thrown out there where they should go with the name. Should they go with like the what I would call kind of the cheesy names, which are the senators or the presidents or the generals. There's even odds out there. Bank, of course, there are on what the most likely name could be for it. But we then saw the Cleveland Indians.
Right? What would you name the Redskins, by the way?
I do like the suggestion of the Red Tails.
Red Tails been thrown my out. Favorite.
I think that's been good. Personally, I wonder, should they just go away from anything red?
But
what I'm saying is, like, do you want to just
Tuskegee Airmen?
It does. It's
that
a complete
military theme, and
that's why I like it. It's a complete reversal. I mean, can't go. I mean, it's a complete reversal. It also, you know, I know in their statement it mentions honoring the military. Well, that's a way to do that as well. So that might be the best route to go.
Sure.
I do somewhat wonder, should they just, you don't want to have any, like, do you want to get red out of the name altogether because it just still has the thought from people, even though it doesn't mean the same thing. I'm not surprised that this change is finally going to happen, considering where we're at and the climate that we're at right now. But we know the Cleveland Indians sent out a statement, and Terry Francona, the manager of the Cleveland Indians, spoke about the name change, and he thinks Cleveland needs to change theirs.
You know, I've been thinking about it, and actually thinking about it before we put out that statement. I know in the past when I've been asked about whether it's our name or the Chief Wahoo, I think I would usually answer and say, I know that we're never trying to be disrespectful. And I still feel that way. But I don't think that's a good enough answer today.
So Cleveland, who there had been certainly a push to some extent with, and they had gotten rid of the Chief Wahoo logo because that was the biggest issue that they had
and
going on
the
there,
C.
And they just went with the C. And now there's some fans at the games there in Cleveland still wear the Chief Wahoo hat and things like that, even though it's discouraged. And I think naturally you have to wonder, in Kansas City, are the Chiefs next? Now Cleveland didn't face the pressure immediately; they decided to self review here, but they had faced pressure because of Chief Wahoo. I just view it to me. Kansas City and the name Chiefs, you're wearing your Chiefs shirt today. Like, that is on a different level, the name itself, than what we're talking about with the Washington Redskins and even the Cleveland Indians, where you're actually talking about race within that, right? And in some cases, a racial slur, right? Within Kansas City, within the Chiefs and some of the traditions that are in there, if you want to call them traditions, that's where they have some problems where you can, I think, make some adjustments, talking about banging on the drum or war paint or the chop, or certainly people wearing headdresses out at Arrowhead, and the numbers fortunately are getting smaller and smaller. I've had season tickets my family did growing up, and fortunately it's not everybody's wearing it. We know that if anybody's been to Arrowhead, but there are select few people that are. Like, that should be something that the Chiefs denounce, right? That should be something that they do not allow at Arrowhead. But the name, the Chiefs, and certainly if you look back at the meaning, it's a complicated background on it. It's not as simple as some people make it out to be, but that is so much different, Bink, than Washington or Cleveland.
It's when you hear the name, I've always gone by this, when you hear the name, what comes to mind first? Like, what, when you hear that, is there a negative connotation associated with the name? And the Chiefs aren't one of those that hard to see a negative connotation with it, because I understand the theme, Kansas City Monarchs. The Kansas City Royals, it's about a royalty, it's about Chiefs, and I know H.O. Bartle and stuff like that, but there was a theme with these teams, Kansas City Kings. I mean, there was a theme with teams of royalty or being the head cheese of the of whatever, and the Chiefs are like that. But I just don't see a negative connotation with it. Like, I can kind of buy what other people are saying with other nicknames, I get that, but I just can't see one with this. It's not because I live in Kansas City. I would say that no matter where I live, I just don't see the negative connotation. I don't think there's any disrespect meant. I don't think there's any disrespect meant by any of them, because why would you name your team that? You know, something disrespectful. That is your team, your organization that you root for. But I would put the Chiefs low on that list.
You know, I I just bring up the question because naturally when you see what's happening with Washington, is again, a completely different level. It's more to me when I see the Indians considering changing away from it. But even then, I feel like Kansas City's on a different, you know, different level. To me, it's the stuff that's attached to it. It's the drum or the chop and those where maybe tweaks have to come. The name itself, I just don't see that being necessary.
Well, and so I've made my point of view on Washington very clear. Like, I don't say their name, and I choose not to because I do think that it is offensive and it should be changed. The Indians, I believe they should probably change their name as well. And if we're going to go down that path, then maybe the Chiefs should as well. And I'm not trying to criticize the Chiefs. I don't think that there is any harm meant by their name personally. But what's the reason that we wouldn't change it? Like, what's the argument against changing it? Branding? Who cares? They're an NFL franchise. They're gonna be fine. Branding doesn't matter.
Yeah, tradition or branding shouldn't be the answer. My answer would be I don't view Chiefs. I'm open. You know, if there's someone that views as a fan, I would love to hear the exact reasoning. Sure. Because I don't believe Chiefs is even on that level. I don't believe it has that negative connotation. Now, there's elements within it, as I've brought up a couple times. And if you want to look back at the backstory in Mayor Bartle and the tribe that he created, the fake tribe really he created within the Boy Scouts, then they self-appointed him chief. He wasn't an actual chief. And that timing of it, was that in a negative way? Were they doing that for negative reasons? That's where maybe you could get in some trouble with being a push to change it. But the actual name chief, or you know, the people mentioned even the arrowhead, like that kind of stuff, I truly don't see the negative connotation with it. But you want to get rid of the chop or the drum, that's a conversation I think that can be had. I just don't see it with the Chiefs. And it's not just because of the brand or the history, because Redskins fans would say tradition or brand there, and that's not what's going to happen.
They sell a crap load of new stuff too because everybody wants the new gear.
Yeah, but I think that's what a lot of fans who argue against it, that's what their argument is, and I don't think that's a valid argument. Like, I'm not saying they need to change their name or advocating that they do, but if they chose to do it, I wouldn't be mad at them about it, and I think that the way we are trying to progress as a world, it would make a huge statement if they chose to do that, or if they in some way found other ways to help support Native American culture, that speaks a lot as well.
I know over the last probably 6 to 8 years, yeah, we've seen, you know, stuff, yeah, you know, the Chiefs have tried to at least, you know, publicly, right, they've tried to work with indigenous groups and organizations to show some support in some form or fashion. You brought up, they just installed the drum deck last season, right? Wasn't that the first year of the drum deck? So yeah. Like, and bang on the drum, like, again, those are things that maybe those are things that have to be altered or reconsidered or reviewed. I just think, based on what we are seeing with Cleveland and who knows, Atlanta, certainly the Braves, where that is going to be probably discussed as well, nobody should be surprised if the conversation and pressure eventually falls on Kansas City.
I think it will eventually, and who knows? I think we've already seen this at high school level. We've seen it at the college level and at the NHL, certainly. You might see this start to roll with the Blackhawks, which I've already seen this stuff rolling that direction. But yeah, I would think that their dominoes typically fall, and I think it would certainly be on the list to watch for. What would you call Cleveland Indians, by the way? I've seen Cleveland Rocks.
That's good. I do like that. But someone was flown around the Spiders. I don't know what's the logo. Like, it looks like the Richmond Spiders.
Well, you
logo.
Can't go back to the Texans because that wouldn't make any sense. Right. But you could do the Missourians, but that would piss off everybody here. Kansas.
The Cleveland Missourians, yeah.
No, the Kansas City Missourians.
You're talking the Kansas City Missourians.
Yeah, City Missourians.
The Monarchs, I like the idea of somehow doing Monarchs or Kings.
Yeah, bring back the Kings.
Now I'm asking you to predict something.
How about the Missourians? Do you think out here they like that? No.
I'm on the Kansas side, too.
I'm on the Missouri side, the Kansas City Missourians.
I don't think so. Do you think, let me just hypothetical real quick. A year and a half from now, they still can't see Chiefs? I say yes. I say maybe there's a change with the chop, and it'll be discouraged, perhaps.
Yes, I think that's the first thing to go. I do. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's fine. If that's what needs to happen, that's fine.
I think people that. If you gave people choice, I think they would do that real quickly instead of changing the name.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, the Royals opening up workouts over the weekend. One player testing positive here with Mike Matheny, and a few players had to say they were never considering opting out.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get into the NFL and what we're seeing from then. Preseason cutting down from 4 to 2, but could it go to 0? That's what the players apparently want. And Bink thinks one of these ideas is absolutely insane and is not going to work for the NFL come the start of training camp. But we know with the Royals in workouts that started up on Friday, they had the testing on Wednesday, workouts on Friday. One Royals player did test positive. That was Salvador Perez. He fortunately hasn't been around the team. That's if you're wondering about that, that's the fortunate thing. He's down in Miami. He was down in Miami, I should say. And so he hasn't been near the team. That's the one positive test.
And then, he doesn't have any problems with it. Yeah, he's asymptomatic, but he could carry it.
Yeah, he's asymptomatic. He said he's feeling fine, and he just kind of warned people to, you know, to wear their mask essentially and go forward. We've seen some other players across baseball. Mike Trout, who was wearing a mask actually out at workouts the other day, and his mom even sent out a tweet and just mentioning people needing to wear masks out there. We know Mike Matheny mentioned on, I think it was Saturday, that he, some time ago, but had COVID-19 as well. And we've seen some big names across baseball either opt out or we have seen some positive tests. I just saw Nick Markakis of the Braves in the last 5 minutes decided to opt out for this season.
Which is big with him and Freddie Freeman.
That's
huge
for the Braves.
Freeman's going to come back, but come back and not have any training camp 2.0.
Well, come back for that and also come back. You don't know how long is that adjustment period. Now, baseball, maybe not to a certain extent as what Von Miller may have to deal with in Denver with altitude and the conditioning there. It's not to the same extent, but yeah, you don't know how. That's the one thing we discussed a little bit early last week that we still don't know. All right, quarantine's over. How much in shape are these guys in long-term lung capacity and things like that? These are things that nobody has the answer to. Maybe everybody will be fine. We just don't know. At the same time, there are players also just opting out either for their own personal health concerns or also their family. Now, it sounds like none of the Royals really considered opting out for the most part, Bink. And one in particular certainly was Whit Merrifield.
I've seen what a lot of guys have said, and I respect how they feel, and I'm in a different situation than a lot of guys, and guys are in different situations than me. But my feeling on the whole thing is, I'm saying this coming from my wife that has a compromised immune system, and there was never a hesitation from her or me about playing this year because she's been with me since high school. She understands what it takes to get to this level. She understands this level is a short window of time. And she also understands that just like I have an obligation to her to be the best husband I can be, to my siblings to be the best brother I can be, and to my parents to be the best son I can be, I have an obligation to those guys in there, because those guys are my family as well, to show up and to perform. And if I'm not there, I'm putting those guys in jeopardy this year. If they're not there, they're putting us in jeopardy as far as a team goes. So those guys are my family, just like my family at home is my family. And for us, for guys, at least in this clubhouse, to consider not showing up, I don't think was ever an option, just because we understand where we're at as a team. And we're not going to let the virus dictate what we've done and how we've gotten, how long it's taken us to get to this point. We're going to keep living our lives and combat it the best we can. And whatever happens, happens. But I'm not going to let this affect how I go about my day to day.
So that's the other side of it. There's players opting out. And then there's also Whit Merrifield, who is saying, you know what? It took me so long to get to the majors, and this is a conversation and his choice. Like, this is different. People saying, all right, how is this different when you've been critical of someone's out there not wearing their mask? The difference is Whit Merrifield, by him playing, that's not harming anybody else. It's not putting anybody else in danger if his wife is also comfortable with it, which she is. Like, that's their own personal choice. The same way I don't think you should be critical of David Price or some of these other players that are choosing to opt out. It is their personal decision. This is talking about playing baseball. This is not impacting you and your health, Binkley, or my health by Whit Merrifield playing or not playing. It's a decision that they made. They're comfortable with it, and that's fine. That's good. And I think, you know, the fact that Royals players, it sounds like he's confident saying that none of them really considered opting out. That does make you feel good about this upcoming season heading in, where one, they're not at this point, nobody's opted out, and you have the one positive test, but they're motivated, they're young, they're hungry. There's not a bunch of veterans on this team.
And that's the one thing about the Royals. And again, I think again, how the organization went around things, how they did things. But there's this hunger involved with this team. And that stuff Witt's saying, that's what you want your team to say. You want your team to buy in with what Witt said. I think the Chiefs had a lot of that last year, this family attitude, you know, from the Honey Badger to Frank Clark, to Mahomes, those guys. There was this family atmosphere. But I'll never forget this, Alex. This is what I think sums up this team, and I think this is one of the reasons we should really be excited about Royals baseball. Something Dayton Moore said, and keep in mind, Dayton Moore just doesn't say things to stick to the wall. Like, he's not that guy. He's not that guy. He says things that he means, and always has. And he's been hard on players, you know, in the past when he's been disappointed in them. He's come right out. I remember the Danny Duffy, the other day. Dayton Moore, you know, like an upset father. This is what Dayton Moore said in spring training, and this past year, this couple months ago, when we thought we were going to have baseball.
The first spring training or whatever we're calling it now, yeah.
These comments got me so excited about baseball, and it rings even more true now.
Our position players, I believe, are really, really good and talented and continue to get better. But I think the most important thing to understand is this group is very hungry, and they feel like they have something to prove. There's an edge about them in this camp that I like a great deal, one that I haven't sensed in a few years, and so we're ready to go.
One I haven't sensed in a few years. They have an edge about them. You just heard that edge. Whit Merrifield had that edge. There's something different about this team. Just the way that everybody, I mean, the Royals became, it's not like the day of Gil Mash where you had to throw a guy a bunch of money to come play for the Royals. They want to play here now. Like, they want to be with the Royals. They've become this organization that you strive for, where people want to be a part of your organization and not get traded, not leave the organization. They have become that model franchise, and they're hungry, and there's a sense of hunger. I still thought, you know, they were a year or two away till this pitching came up, and I thought it was real important for the development of Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch and Jonathan Bolins of the world. But if baseball goes off without a hitch, this is going to be fun. And Major League Baseball should seriously look at Dayton Moore to run it. I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah, a lot of people have thrown out his name.
That's
yeah.
The guy I would look for.
A lot of people throw out his name. I do think, you know, other than it's just 60 games and it's a 60-game sprint and wild things can happen, whether or not a player's out for 2 weeks on another team and you in a way luck out because their starting pitcher unfortunately is on a quarantine list or something. Like, craziness can happen. You're seeing some of these teams that were and are favorites to win, like the Dodgers having David Price opt out. Like, that's why as a fan it should be exciting too, because one, some of the favorites and some of these other organizations where guys have made $100 million already in their career, right? And not that many guys on the Royals have made over $150 million in their career or whatever, you know what I mean? So there's a motivating factor there, and a lot of these guys, that the young guys haven't been part of, they weren't part of that run in 2015, and so I think that adds to some of it. But again, I'm not going to, and if a Royals player all of a sudden, a week before the start of the season, decided to opt out because things are, this testing mess that's going on with baseball, I'm also not going to be critical of that, though, because I do truly believe it is an individual decision. David Price, I don't view him any differently. No. Now, he has the benefit. Like, if you had the financial benefit where you could be David Price because he's made millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in his career already, that you can just sit out and it's not going to, you know, you're going to make that decision and not have a financial impact. There's plenty of people that would make that decision. We all maybe still have to go to work, but if you were in a position where, you know, you had made $100 million in your career and you felt like, oh, this is something I don't even want to mess with that. That's your decision to make.
It is. And I do this podcast here. It's called the Football and Barbecue Podcast, right? And I sit down at a restaurant with ex-Chiefs. And keep in mind that a lot of them are older, you know, even I'm 47, quite even older than me, by, you know, like the Mike Garrett's of the world, the Bobby Bells of the world. But I'm worried about doing it, and I haven't done it because I don't want to be that guy that, you know, would give them something or pass them something. I mean, it goes through your mind, just like a David Price. Do I want to be that guy that affects other people's lives because of me? Do I want to be that guy or that person? That's why I don't really want to do it, because I don't want to be that person that exposes, and I get that. But I will say this too on another note. The Royals, I do believe, are set up for that next man philosophy, because this year, these organizations are going to be about next man up. And it's not going to be complete. Like, if a Mike Trout goes down, it's not going to be about the complaining. Like, I don't see the Royals complaining. I see somebody goes down. Here comes Kyle Isbell right in there. It's next man up. I think the Chiefs were kind of like next man up philosophy too. They had a lot of that this year with all the injuries they had. But the Royals really seem like this hungry group that you're going to see a lot of next man up in baseball. And I think the Royals you know, are kind of ready for that challenge, well, to be quite honest.
That might be the benefit of having a young team this year. Also, yes, you have a manager that is experienced. He's managed before over in St. Louis, but this is still fresh and new for him in Kansas City. I think all of that can maybe benefit you at least with some of the issues that may arise early on in the season or heading into the season. Like if it's testing, which we're hearing today, multiple teams have had trouble getting results. Unfortunately, the Royals haven't been one of those. Like that kind of stuff, those potential distractions, those don't exist with your organization. That can be an advantage for you early on in the season or as the season takes form. And so it's going to be interesting to see where the next couple days go just in baseball, because today, like some of the news coming out today is not... It's not promising, is it?
No.
It's not promising for opening day on July 24th for the Royals or for baseball, July 23rd for a couple of teams.
It's not what you want to see. And on my phone, I've got Twitter alerts from Passan and Oldie. So I get these.
Yeah, your
and
phone's every just blowing
up. Every single one of them, I have it on silent, but every single one of them is negative. I mean, honestly, it's all negative. It's not what the sport's supposed to be. It's positive. It's coming back. Let's get excited. There's batting practice, players running. No, it's all about test. And not showing up on time and canceling practice. I don't know how many Washington Nationals practice canceled tweets I got. I got to probably turn this thing off. I mean, it's nothing positive. We got the schedule coming out tonight, Alex. This should be positive, but it's not. It's negative information coming out when, in turn, this should be about positive. But
it should, but it's reality.
But it is reality.
I mean, it's what's going on.
What are the Passans and Olies have to tweet about? Yeah. But tests not being done.
I mean, the schedule's not going to matter if you don't get this testing stuff figured out. I mean, so that's the frustrating thing with that.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to the trash. We go down to Alabama. You've been there for SEC Media Days, haven't you? A couple times?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Never been to Alabama. Well, some students there throwing COVID parties to see who gets infected. Look, we've all made some mistakes. We've all done some dumb stuff when we were younger, or in college in particular. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but really, the thought behind it is they're betting, essentially, which one of their friends or whatever is going to get COVID first. This is just so idiotic.
And then that friend goes home and gets their parents or whatever.
Right.
I guarantee you the football teams aren't doing this down here. They're extremely worried about it. This kind of reminds me of Tide Pod eating and just ridiculous things. Remember holding your breath or something these kids were doing? I have a teenage daughter, and I'm always worried about her doing dumb stuff. And anytime I hear about something, I go, all right, you're not doing like this stupid thing that everybody your age is doing, are you? And if I found out my kid was going to a COVID party, yeah, it would be, that would be the worst punishment she had ever received. I'd quarantine her to her room. For how long? I don't know. She'd be fed and everything. But what do you do? What would you do with your kid if they came in and they were at a COVID party? What do you do if you're a parent?
Now you'd be like, you're living down in the basement. I'll bring you food.
Put in the basement or whatever. Yeah, you feed them and whatever. And,
yeah.
But what do you do if your kid's been that selfish to expose you or grandma or grandpa?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, I don't know any of these people, but if that's what they're willing to do also, their parents may not have as much of a problem with it. Like in that particular instance,
they will when they're laid in a bed.
Well, right. And unfortunately, for some people, it's gonna take that point in time. But basically, the Tuscaloosa City Councilor said students have been organizing these COVID parties at a game, intentionally infecting each other with the contagion that has killed obviously more than 130,000 people.
Do they not like sports?
Well, that's why. Again, gets back
into
talking
like
about
sports and life coming back to normal.
Yeah, if you want sports, you want to watch Patrick Mahomes again. You want to watch Jorge Soler hit a couple bombs.
Roll Tide! You want to see Bama play football?
Sure. Whatever that motivation is for you, find it. Hopefully.
And Nick Saban's been out there saying, "Don't."
Besides
do Besides
the
stuff.
Obvious, which is just not endangering others.
Especially in that state where Alabama football means everything and it could be catastrophic to their local economy.
Yes.
You should be taking it seriously.
And Nick Saban's been about to wear the mask.
Yeah, they did the promo video.
Alabama's been all about this because they had some, that state got hit pretty good. And now Nick Saban is trying to, all right, guys, let's play that. We want Alabama football back here. Stop it.
Right, that's the thing with so many of these college towns that they survive based off of the, however many home games they have each and every year. Like that's how they survive, the local bars and restaurants. If there's no college football, and we already know it's been tough for the restaurant industry and plenty of industries now, but if there's no college football, if there's no NFL Sundays, bars, restaurants, that is a huge chunk of their revenue each and every year, man.
Tuscaloosa, where University of Alabama is, it's not that big of a city, right? But from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa, and one day I was at the SEC media. I said, you know, I'm going to go see the stadium. Or there's this, I saw Todd Blackledge do that Taste of the Town, and there's this little diner called Ramajamas right next to the stadium, right? So I drove down. There's a three-lane highway from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa, which doesn't need that at all because there's not that much traffic. It's built because of game day. That's how big that sport is. We're even maybe 100, like LSU will have 100,000 people outside the stadium there in Death Valley just to be part of the atmosphere. That's how big football is in the South.
I believe it. No, I believe it. And
it's a way of life.
Is college football going to happen? That's something we got to continue to look at as well. And there was an idea that was thrown out, and it was just some random Twitter account. It's not a media member or anything. It was from The Key Play. It did get retweeted by a few media members. And just let me read this and see if you think there's any chance of this happening, because I don't see it, but I'm open to all kinds of ideas right now. We have to be a lot more creative than ever before with trying to figure out how sports can happen because of what's going on. The tweet said, a college football thought, thinking about the season over the span of 4 months. Teams play nearly every week. Seems self-restrictive to me, less safe than playing it over the course of fall through spring with games spaced out 2 to 3 weeks. Seems like most folks are considering how to implement the existing model in the current situation when really you could have enough time to play a game, isolate, monitor, test track, play another game spread across 9 months. So I understand his thought. That, okay, you play a game, let's make sure everybody's good to go and get ready. But you can't ask student-athletes, first of all, for 9 months. 9 months of college football? Spread it across 9 months? That's just not feasible. The other part is, if you are Trevor Lawrence or one of these other projected top picks, quarterback or not, in that scenario, you're playing 4 games and you're done. Because you're not playing into the spring in that case.
Anything that drags on to when the Senior Bowl would have been, or the Combine, or getting ready for the Combine, any sport that drags into that will be different. I think, honestly, with college football is so interesting, Alex. I went out to my traditional thing I do every June. I go out and buy a bunch of college football magazines.
Did you get your Phil Steele yet?
It's coming out yet. But I got all my Athlons, all that stuff, Lindy's. But I always make a day to go to Barnes & Noble, and I go and get on my – I know it's weird because everything's online now, which I have some guides like Pick 6 previews I have online, but there's nothing better than grabbing, you know, the actual college football mag. But what sport would be the most affected by not having fans? And to me, it's not the NFL, which the Chiefs is the most like a college atmosphere, but I think there's enough people that go to bars and restaurants and watch it from their home. I think the fan that watches at home is just as passionate as the fan that goes to the stadium, to be honest with you, in this town. But college football is the one sport to me that would be the most affected by not having fans, because that is what college football is. It's the pageantry. It's the alumni getting together, representing their school or your state school, and going to the games and the passion, the songs, the chants. Everything that
you're probably not going to have bands either, man. No, you're not going to have bands and cheerleaders, which is going to change the atmosphere.
It's like Georgia and Bama between the third and fourth quarter. They have those LED lights and they all do all these different. But college football to me is the one, because college football is about the atmosphere. It is about the rivalry. It is about the hatred between two areas meeting on the football field. And of all the sports, I think that's the one that would take the biggest hit by not having fans. That's the one to really watch. That's the one to really worry about. Because the way you said, you delay this thing, because we'll talk about it later, but high schools are thinking about flip-flopping the spring sports and the fall sports. Couldn't do this with football, because these guys be like, nah, I'm going to the NFL. I'm going for that $1 million contract. Thanks, but no thanks. My 3 years are done in college football.
Why would you risk it?
I'm going and playing pro.
In January after the bowl season, you got guys already going out to Arizona for these different facilities.
Bowls.
And some are skipping bowls. We've seen that a lot more over the last 5 to 6 years or so. And so that doesn't work. And not to mention, one game, you wait a month, play another game. Nobody knows what the future holds. We don't
about getting after it.
There's no flow there. But also, we don't know in November, December, January. Nobody can predict what. Is it going to be worse? Is it going to be better there? You've got other stuff going on.
I can't predict tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, so much has changed on a daily and weekly basis. It's unbelievable. But I do wonder if you can, even with the college sports, though, not football, but could you move some of the spring, could you realign some of the individual sports that you would typically play in the spring? Do you move those to the fall or vice versa? Because individual versus team sports, is it easier to make work the individual sports now than it will be for the team sports?
Maybe, but they desperately need football since they lost basketball. Football and basketball is what drives financially in these institutions. And to play other sports before you have your moneymakers play, Can they withstand the hit? We've already, Missouri, Chad Muller, does the PR down there. It's been furloughed. You know, we've seen this happen, the football guys. But can universities withstand funding these sports?
I saw a couple
like track and field and wrestling. Missouri had to wrestle in the MAC because the SEC didn't have it. But we're seeing these, equestrian and all these other sports that are funded by football and basketball. And you go basically a year without the two moneymakers? That's like losing your job for a year and still paying your mortgage. It's tough to do.
Yeah, it's not so much this year. It's what's the financial impact that's going to be in 2021, 2022, and beyond.
Last minute.
Japan's professional baseball and soccer leagues will begin allowing fans this week, they announced today. Soccer and baseball officials said the first day will be Friday. Maximum number of 5,000 people or 50% of the stadium capacity, whichever is smaller. A glimmer of hope of what can happen in sports when you take pandemics seriously.
I was going to say, I mean, their numbers are down there. They're able to do that. If you've watched any other sports across the world, I believe over in like New Zealand, right? They have like no cases now, so their fans are back in. Like that's unfortunately, yeah, we're a long ways away. I feel like today it feels like we're far away, doesn't it? We're trying to just get sports to start.
Yeah, New Zealand got rid of every case, I think one lady came back for a funeral and brought it, and they had to deal with that. But there was one person, and they had to quickly deal with that issue.
It's, you appreciate, and I think we all will even more so whenever that day comes where we're quote unquote back to normal, whenever that is, whether it's with fans or even just sports on TV on a regular basis. Like, I think the appreciation for whether it's sports or just everyday life, some of the things it was still nice to have a couple days off last week. Of course it was. But you know what? It still felt, I still couldn't really go and do anything.
I saw somebody complaining today.
There still wasn't stuff going on,
today.
Little things you'll appreciate more.
Going in the Quick Trip, I'm not a fan of the mask.
You get some taquitos, some rollers.
But complaining about that, just throw it on, man. You want sports back or not? Because half these people want sports. It's a catch-22 they're living in. I want sports, but yet I want to do, well, I do too. That's why I'm like, all right, let me do whatever I can because I want sports back. Even that means put my mask on to go in the Quick Trip. I'm doing it. And I'm not going to throw a fit about it if it's the rules. The rules are rules. You do it.
Yeah, it seems like a small thing to deal with, considering, again, if you want the Royals to be playing, you want Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It seems pretty simple to me.
Do it for Mahomes.
And good for Japan, though, I guess, right? They got fans coming back to their stands, even if it is just 5,000
people. It's better than stuffed animals in Korea.
They had the stuffed animals. Well, and there's a couple of baseball teams are going to actually do this cutout thing. Season ticket holders, the Royals, right? Season ticket holders can buy a cutout.
I've got a cutout in 5 cities.
You're gonna just work it around.
I'm serious.
Bank represented across the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary, scary thought.
Yep.
Coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. What does the NFLPA want the NFL to do come preseason and training camp? Plus, we'll have another countdown to opening day.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.